Grace and peace are yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is Revelation chapter 1. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, in October of 1939, C.S. Lewis was lecturing at Oxford to students who were aware that their nation was once again at war, as it had been just a mere 21 years earlier. In his essay called Learning in Wartime, he wrote, "The war creates no absolutely new situation. It simply aggravates the permanent human situation so that we can no longer ignore it. Human life has always been lived on the edge of a precipice. Human culture has always had to exist under the shadow of something infinitely more important than itself. We are mistaken when we compare war with normal life. Life has never been normal. Even those periods which we think most tranquil, like the 19th century, turn out on closer inspection to be full of crises, alarms, difficulties, emergencies." Lewis gave that at a time of crisis in his nation's life, one that affected millions of people over the next 6 years. But there is a more individual side to this. And just last night, I read a poem that makes it very personal regarding the nature of death. It's based on an epitaph of Luther's good friend, Philip Melanchthon, that he wrote at the death of his son. "A melancholy father lays to sleep in this dark ground the bones of his dear son. He asks you, O good Christ, to guard and keep the soul of him whose earthly life is done. He, not yet too, and having just begun to live, is gone, shall not his father weep. Dear friend of Lazarus, it blacks the sun. Grant hope and solace to your desperate sheep." The men who are speaking from this pulpit this week have all had to deal with death. It is part of the calling of a pastor of a congregation to care for the dying and to care for the grieving family and friends of those who die. We have been at the deathbeds of our parishioners, oftentimes our friends. To be so close to death is not uncommon. Many vocations have a far more immediate and frequent closeness to death. First responders, those in the military, doctors and nurses, and many others must deal with the end of life regularly. Life, whether in times of war or comparative peace, is always confronted with death. In chapter 5 of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we have repeated 8 times that phrase, "and he died." These are the descendants of Adam and Eve. "In the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die." And so it was, and so it is, and so it will be, until our Lord returns on the last day. Only the Christian church has a word to say at the time of death that goes beyond death and grave. It is the word of God, the word of our Savior, the one who speaks absolute truth when he says, "I am the first and the last. I have the keys of Hades and death." This is what we desire the dying to hear. This is what we desire those who mourn to hear, that we may not mourn as those who have no hope. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." That is Jesus, true God, who took on true humanity that he might die for us, taking on death itself for you. We need Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. We need him because death is not something that you or I can defeat. I would like to defeat death. Death has caused me pain and sorrow. And death has caused others much more pain and sorrow than I have known. You may very well have that lingering sorrow of a loss that remains a very bitter and painful memory. Our small town in North Iowa grieved with a family that lost their little girl just this last week after a tragic accident. Even those of us with very little direct connection to the family could very much empathize with that sorrow. But such tragedies are not uncommon in this world. In the year 2021, 5 million children in this world never reached their fifth birthday. But those numbers do not give comfort. They cannot, because death is personal, and you cannot hide it in a myriad of others. One is enough. Jesus knows death. He knows it better than any of us. In that powerful hymn that is such a great one we sing during Lent about the Christian life, "I walk in danger all the way," one of the stanzas begins, "Death doth pursue me all the way." And that is true for you and me. It was true for Jesus throughout his earthly life. Before he was 2, King Herod tried to kill him. People from his hometown tried to kill him when he read to them the great words of the prophet Isaiah and said, "Today these words are fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus said, "Isaiah was writing about me." When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead with just the words, "Lazarus, come forth," that powerful and joyful miracle caused his enemies to desire even more his death. And finally, he did die. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." None of these was a coincidence. Jesus deliberately walked the way to the cross of Golgotha to die. But he told his disciples beforehand, "On the third day I will rise." He did. Death has no final word over Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, through the water poured on you in the name of the triune God at your baptism, you are connected to the death and resurrection of this Jesus. As Paul wrote, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Death has no final word over you, nor over any who die in faith in Jesus Christ. This is the comfort Jesus gives. Even though we cannot see it yet, it is true. And it will be revealed to us in all its joy and gladness. Because of Jesus' promise, we confess, "I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." And Jesus speaks to you, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus has locked up death, and he's opened the door of heaven to all who believe. And he will make sure that door is open for you who believe in him. "In suffering be thy love my peace. In weakness be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side. Amen." You'll please turn to page 172 in the front of your hymnary. There in the upper right-hand side, you'll find prayers for the dying, and we will say together that first prayer, and you may rise. O Lord, teach me to remember that I will die,
and that here I have no enduring home. Make me mindful of the shortness of my life, and keep me ever mindful of my death, that I may live and die in this world, not to myself, but to you. Grant that I look forward to the day of my departure and the return of your Son, Jesus Christ, with a cheerful faith, that I may proceed toward my death in a holy walk and a godly life, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and by the merit of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.